So our picture of the week, I tweeted this. It's been around the net for it's of interest if someone's been living under a rock for the last week or isn't a member of Twitter or, you know, somehow hasn't seen this. A great cartoon titled Pandora's iPhone that shows a picture of Tim Cook in the lead reaching for the back door's knob. Behind him stands the FBI. Behind him, even bigger, is hackers. Behind them is a crazy guy dressed up as a general labeled repressive regimes, and then a group of others labeled et cetera. So, you know, the point being, you know, are we opening Pandora's iPhone by having Tim Cook unlock the back door? So, what the court order has asked Apple to do is to modify iOS, create a modified iOS or a shim or something, essentially altering the way that current software works. As we all know, you have a 10 mistake lockout on guessing the unlock code for the iPhone. And if you can't get it within that allotted number of guesses, what will happen is the phone will then proactively wipe out the symmetric encryption key, which drives the cipher between storage and the CPU. I remember hearing Jeff last week sort of puzzled about, wait a minute, you know, it decrypts your phone every time you unlock it and then it's like, well, no, it's, you know, as we know, listeners of the podcast probably understand how current whole drive encryption works. And that is that the drive is always encrypted and it is decrypted on the fly under the influence of a symmetric key as data is read from it and then re-encrypted as data is read back. So with the simple act of destroying, you know, just zeroing one small bit of memory, the contents can never be recovered. And as far as we know, that symmetric key is generated by the phone and at no point ever leaves the phone. There's no reason not to believe that's the case. So the idea is we absolutely have to prevent that from happening. So the court has ordered Apple to assist the FBI by disabling the 10 wrong guesses lockout, which is presumably enforced by software, not hardware, thus subject to being changed. There's also, in addition to an 80 millisecond hardware enforced delay in trying a guess, there is additional software induced per attempt delays to slow down guessing. So they want that removed also. Again, it's software induced, so that could be removed. And then finally, they want an electronic avenue for submitting their guesses. That is, we're talking about brute forcing this passcode. So they want, rather than having some poor intern sitting there, you know, 000000000001000000 and so on, that they want to be able to just hook it up to a brute force generator and have it run at the maximum speed it can, which is 80 milliseconds per guess, without any downside, you know, without the 10 mistake lockout and with no additional delay. So of course Apple is saying no. we're going to do everything we can to fight that. So I don't take any position in this. I mean, the reason that this has all been I mean, we've been talking for the last few months that, you know, like this is going to be the year where this begins to happen. And everyone who's been following the podcast for a long will remember that I suspended my work on CryptoLink because I could read the handwriting on the walls. It's like I didn't want to invest all of my time to create a super great commercial product to have it be outlawed, because there's no way I'm going to produce a VPN that has a back door or a weak front door or any kind of a door. So, you know, this has been in the air for a while. What we do know, though, is, and there is a lot of misinformation on the technical side. And as I said at the top of the podcast, one of the problems is people who don't understand the technology are loosely using ill-defined terms. I mean, backdoor is sort of a catch-all, which means whatever the person saying it wants to mean. So we have a problem with inexact terminology being used by non-technical people. But such is politics and technology and the collision thereof. Here's what we know about the way the iPhone and iOS devices work today, and I verified in the September 2015, so only a few months back, iOS 9 security white paper, that it hadn't changed, and it's the same as what we discussed back with iOS 7. And that is, and I remember at the time remarking how surprised I was, but pleased about Apple's super tight architecture. And listeners will remember that I came away feeling very bullish about the incredible focus that Apple had clearly put into securing the iPhone and iOS devices for its users. The iPhone or iOS device, in this case an iPhone, will periodically, even when locked, and that's a misconception that I've seen on the internet. It's like, well, no, it won't update unless it's unlocked. No, it will update locked. The phone is locked and on Wi-Fi. It will periodically check for updates. The iPhone sends its unique device ID and a randomly generated nonce, a number used once, to Apple. Apple, if it wants to send the iPhone something it will accept, must take the device's unique ID and the nonce, bundle that with the update package, and sign it with Apple's super secret private key and send it back to the phone. The phone verifies that the signature is correct because it's got Apple's matching public key burned into its boot ROM. So it verifies that the signature is correct and then verifies that the nonce that it has received in this package is the same one that it just sent and that the unique device ID matches. So back when we discussed this several years ago, I remember saying, wow, that means that every single update is customized. And Apple did this for a reason, and we talked about it then. We would want to prevent an older version of iOS that was for some other device, not this particular one, from being essentially cross-installed, thus allowing a downgrade attack to recreate flaws that were now well known in the earlier versions but had been fixed in later versions. So Apple took on the burden of not being able to mass distribute any of their iOS updates. Every single one is generated custom in answer to a request from the device, signed with Apple's private key, in order for the device to accept it. So this puts to rest the question technically, not politically, not policy-wise, but technically, can Apple, if they choose to, respond uniquely to this singular request and provide the FBI either in their facility or remotely with a piece of software that does what the answers the court's demand and that is not absolutely not reusable ever again. Not even ever again on the same device, because the nonce protects reuse. So one time answering this phone's request, generating software that can only be used that time on that device. And that's the way the system is now. So I understand that there are huge, broader questions that I completely get, like the whole slippery slope argument, that if Apple does it for this, then we already know, for example, that the DA back on the East Coast has said he has 175 other phones waiting to be opened. So, Apple used to do this, and we talked about it, how there was a multi-month backlog in phones that Apple was working through to crack the code and unlock the phone. Apple decided they didn't want it. They didn't want that business. So I just wanted to put to rest the technology is sound. They did it. They beautifully designed this. And what it does give them is, if they choose to, the ability to open this single phone in a way that, even if they gave the software to the FBI. And one report I read said that the FBI was going to give Apple the phone so that Apple could do this to it, and then the FBI would take it away and do this brute forcing for however long it took. So it's not even the case that Apple would, lose control of that update. They're being asked to essentially weaken the front door, which is normally locked tightly enough that no one can get in without the phone destroying its contents by wiping that symmetric key. And where we go from there, nobody knows. It's a fascinating issue of our time. But we're in no position to dictate policy.